Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hello, everybody. Joe McGee with my wife, Angel, here with another Mailbag Monday. We have a ton of letters that have come in, Angel. Let's just jump in and answer something.
All right, Joe. Neither my spouse nor I have been unfaithful, but not sure we can continue to live with each other. Is there ever a time when divorce is the correct thing to do? And does that answer change when children are involved?
No and no.
Well, I mean, scripturally, if there's been an extramarital relationship, you do have an out.
But that's not the case in this question.
I know.
Oh, got it.
But
okay.
But then, and if someone is abusive.
Yeah, that's also an out.
Yes.
I recommend it, taking three relatives to get divorced. You get somebody, you slapping somebody around, we're going to get divorced.
But, you know, there's a reason that God hates divorce.
There is a reason. That's why this question from this, if there's been no affair, no, there's no, you need to work on something. You're looking for a sleigh bell ride or a roller coaster ride. It's not a ride. All marriages take work. It's two opposites growing up together. And people say, well, I married the wrong person. No, you married the right person. You married your 180-degree opposite. Mm-hmm. God puts opposites together. You know, when two people just like, one of them is not needed. That's a bumper sticker in Texas. And people think you're trying to be funny. No, we're trying to be legit. God made marriage. For years, most people didn't marry who they knew anyhow. There was no such thing as dating. You married whoever your parents brought to you. And those marriages really lasted a long time. You built something. You didn't find something. And so today we're shopping like, if I can find the right person. They don't exist. There are no perfect people. Mm-hmm. It's two people growing up together. So you decide, for the Christians, just kind of over-spiritualize. What are we going to do? Well, I need to pray, God. I'm ready to get married, and I want to marry somebody that I'm going to enjoy spending the rest of my life serving, and we're going to grow old together, have a good time, suck the lips off each other's face, and solve a lot of problems, take authority over the devil, and get to believe God for the rest of our life. It's what we get to do. It's an adventure.
Well, and there's such a lie in our society that you can get a quickie divorce, and it has no consequences when the there's consequences that
are eternal consequences
for the rest of your
life. For the rest of your life.
And whether you have children or not.
Yep.
And then one of those things that people don't talk about very much is the feeling like you failed.
Oh, man.
And the guilt and the condemnation.
Now, the devil, he'll lie to you. You think, I'm the only one that didn't make it. I'm the only one that failed. I'm the only one that fell on my face. Mm-hmm. I'm the only one that can. And no, there's lots of people that go through struggles and tests. The Bible says tests and trials come to everybody, every mm-hmm. married couple. And the thing, the people, the reason they laugh so much at our marriage, some angel, and we know this personally, is like, you realize you married your opposite.
Mm-hmm.
And so, well, I'll change them. You can't change. If God's not changing them, you're not going to change them. You're going to take them as they come.
Right.
And it's an adventure. It is a really exciting adventure. It's, you know, when God made Eve, he brought something totally different than Adam. And he looked up, and he came out of that nap, and he thought, whoa, I like that. And God said, I thought you'd like that. And somebody totally different, totally opposite, different IQ, different GPA, different gifts, different abilities, you know. It's just, what'd you give? I gave you your opposite as to make you complete. It's not good for a man to be alone.
One thing, too, is you know, love is a choice. So,
Thank you.
It is a choice that you need to make over and over and over again. It is easy to get lulled into the rhythm of life.
Yes.
And get distracted with children, with your jobs, with your careers, with bills, whatever. And forget that next to you is, other than Jesus, the most important person in your life. And if you stop making them a priority, then of course the enemy is going to come in with lies. Listen, I've been divorced. I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy.
Nope.
My children were 9 and 13 when I got a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
Today they're 26 and 24, and I still see the effects of it. My son was extremely slow to get married.
Yep.
he will tell you, I'm not going to have children because I don't want them to go through the kind of pain I had to. Well, that's ongoing, and it's unfair.
Yes.
It was projected onto an innocent life that didn't do anything to ask for that. So my suggestion is be careful how you talk to your friends. I went out to dinner one time with a girl and her friend that I had never met before. And the whole time, this friend is dogging my friend's husband. And we got in the car to go home, and I said, if you don't cut this relationship off, she's going to work you into a divorce.
Yep.
Because there's no way. What you listen to, what you hang around, you will become. So you have to be careful about those that are speaking. Nobody around me is going to talk bad about my children, and they're certainly not going to talk bad about my husband. Not with me present. Because that's what love does. I want to protect him. I don't want to hang him out to the wolves, and then he's uncomfortable and everybody's mad at him when we go to a Christmas function with the rest of the family. So, you know, you need to be careful. Guard your heart. Don't let the enemy speak these lies to you. If you think the grass is greener.
There is no greener grass.
No. No, it's the same.
Which brings us to the carnal point of when you get in relationships like this, all of a sudden you're drifting apart or whatever, you know, and I don't know if I love him anymore. You need to work on yourself, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, make sure when you go to bed at night, you've bathed. Don't ever go to bed without bathing. And clean up and put on a little makeup. Put on some perfume and some cologne, sir. And, you know, dental floss your teeth. Go to bed clean. I tell people all the time, they think I'm joking, you shouldn't wake up in the morning when you get out of bed. It looks like some camel died where you've been sleeping. So go to bed clean. Get up. Before you go to the breakfast table, go brush your teeth. Clean up. Get dressed. Don't go in there all slouchy. Don't let the last thing your spouse sees and you go to work in the morning, somebody's slouchy.
Yeah.
You know, fix yourself up. And one guy told me one time in a marriage seminar, he said, you know, I've learned, we've been married 30-something years, he said, and I've learned to fall in love with my wife about 6 or 7 times a year, every year. We fall in love again about a half a dozen times. Redate, re-fall in love, re-practice what we did in the beginning. You know, Revelation talks about, you know, the church at Ephesus, God was bragging of all the 7 churches. He bragged on Ephesus the most.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but I have one thing against you. And they thought, we thought you liked us. Well, I'm very proud of you. But I have one thing against you. And I said, what? You've left your first love.
Yeah.
I said, what? Yeah, you've fallen out of love with me. You don't come hang around anymore. You don't talk. You don't visit. We don't spend time together. You don't worship or sing. He said, you need to go back, redo what you did in the beginning.
Right.
Repent that you fell away and repractice what you did that made you fall in love.
Right.
So it's an action. You can't wait for an emotion to hit you. It's not an emotional thing. Love is an obedience thing. For God so loved the world, he did something.
Exactly.
It's not an emotional thing. So stay in love. Light a candle at the dinner table every now and then, you know.
Right.
Dress up for dinner. Just put on a little something nice, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so do something. Work on it. Work on it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a choice to take to work on a relationship. Just like when you were dating and courting, whatever you call it, you know, you took time.
Yes.
you invested ideas to surprise the other party. I mean, that should not stop because a ring is on your finger.
That's right. And you didn't, before that ring hit your finger, you talked nice. You didn't tell nasty stuff or rude stuff or crude stuff. You're working to win their love.
Right.
And you're acting in your best. And then you get married. I don't have to act anymore. I just do what I want, when I want, how. No, you need to do it even more now.
Absolutely. All right. So, Joe, here's another question. We had a friend tell us about generational curses. And some stuff about the sins of their fathers until the 3rd and 4th generations. I can't even explain it, but it sounds scary. I've had other people say that none of that is real if you are saved. Can you briefly tell us what that is all about?
Yeah, if you're saved, you've been redeemed from the curse of the law. There's nothing, doesn't matter what generation. Doesn't matter what your dad did or your granddad did or your grandma or your grandpa. It won't touch you. You've been redeemed from the curse of the law. You've been taken out of the kingdom of darkness, placed in the kingdom of God's dear Son. There is nothing in your past chasing you down.
Mm-hmm.
You got born again. The old man died. Mm-hmm. Whatever your family did, your great-granddaddy did, it won't touch you. You're not in that family anymore. You've been placed into a new family called the family of God. So there's nothing chasing you anymore. You know, and people talk about it, and it is. It's biblical. We've taught it. You know, the sins of the fathers go to the third and fourth generation. That's why when God sent Jonah, you know, to Nineveh to preach, you need to tell them to repent. Well, he didn't want them to repent. He hoped they all died and went to hell. He didn't like any of them. They've invaded his country several times. So he goes there. He tells them to repent. It's a really weak sermon. And the Bible says from the king to the lowest person in the country, they all repented in sackcloth and ashes. And God stayed the judgment another 400 years. In other words, judgment that was coming because of sin, because they repented, it didn't come for 400 more years. Mm-hmm. It was actually in generations, a 100-year deal. God said, okay, you repented, I'll wait another 400 years. But if you don't start living right, it's going to come back up again. So you keep walking in God. You repent every day. You forgive every day. You apologize every day. We're on a messed up planet, but we've been taught how to live successfully. So no, there's no curses coming down on you when you're born again. That's not valid anymore.
But I do think that the enemy will tell you.
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, hey, your grandpa was a womanizer. Yeah. Your dad was a womanizer.
Yeah, your mother was an alcoholic.
It's in
your
blood.
Yeah, it's just in your family. It's in your family. So, and then you do the family tree. And I remember I used to have one because, you know, we came from Ireland, you know, the Scottish and the Irish. And we were so proud. And then you do some long research and I was, oh, man, we were a bunch of murderous, drunkard, rapists. We were horrible. Get that thing off the wall. I don't belong to that family anymore. My family tree's a heavenly family tree. Now, I belong to the family of God. I don't have any of that stuff chasing me. But you've got to know who you are. And we've taught us so many times the 136 scriptures in the New Testament, in whom, in him, in Christ. You know who you are? Because if you don't know who you are, you'll act like that old man. The old man's dead, but you keep acting like him because you've not renewed your mind with the Word of God. You're not fellowshipping with the saints. You don't read your Bible. Your brain's leaked out. Yes, you're like, what did she say? Oh, ye of little faith, what happened to you? Well, our brain leaked out. You know, Jesus always getting on to the disciples. Where'd your faith go? Well, we started thinking old thoughts again. You know, even when Jesus went to the cross, they ran and hid. You know, oh my gosh, everything we believed is a lie. No, it's not. You believe the truth. Jesus told you he's going to die and come back in 3 days, and he did exactly what he said. The day he came out of the grave, he walked through that wall. He didn't come through the door. He walked through the wall. So the first words out of his mouth, oh, you have little faith. That's a stab. Hey, boys, what happened? What happened here? But, man, from then on, man, it said those that have turned the world upside down have come here also. They got some fire under them finally, you know. This is true what we believe. It is the Word of God. God does watch over his Word to perform it. So don't get hung up on past things. Don't talk them or don't. Well, it happened to my daddy. No, it's not going to happen to you. You're a child of God now. You've been redeemed.
I just wonder if people that are not from the southeastern part of the United States, like we are, know what? Hey, your brain done leaked out.
Yeah. Pick that up off your pillow and shove that back in, boys.
You need to do a tape series. Your brain done leaked out.
Woo, have mercy.
All right, let's go on to the next question. If a person grows up and has some of the same problems and struggles as their parents, is that a learned thing or a spiritual thing, like smoking, drinking, or pornography or something? Is this a genetic thing, a spiritual curse, or some kind of, or a little of both? That kind of goes with the previous question.
Yeah, it does. There's really no genetic thing. You're either doing it because your daddy did it, your granddaddy did it, and it's in your family. Well, we've always lost our temper. My daddy lost his temper. No, you need to stop that.
Right.
You're a child of God. You got the mind of Christ now. You don't quit losing your temper. You know, control that. And the Bible says we can control our thought life. Don't think on those things. Think on these things, whatever is lovely, honest, just, praiseworthy. You can control your thought life.
You absolutely can. I came from a line that had a hot, quick temper. And I thought that was how it was.
Oh, that's it.
And let me tell you, I was quick on the draw during my 20s. Bad, even into my 30s a bit. And then I had the wind knocked out of my sails and went through a divorce and had to spend some time reevaluating my life.
Got yourself a revelation.
I don't have a temper anymore.
No, you don't.
I get real quiet.
Yeah, that's dangerous. I don't like when you get quiet.
My kids feel the exact same way. That's what my daughter told somebody. She said, you know, she was talking to some other teachers, and they were like, you know, my mom would just start yelling and screaming. And she goes, oh, my mom never did. But she got quiet. Boy, oh, boy, did that get scary.
Dive.
Yeah, I get quiet. But I've learned to control that. So it is a behavior that can be changed.
Yes.
If you want it to. And that is the key.
All things were made new, but you have to renew your mind with the Word of God.
Yes. You know, a great resource, you have many on your website, but one of the great resources for someone that is struggling with these problems or challenges is your book, You Don't Find a Great Marriage, You Build One.
Yes, it's excellent.
So I would highly recommend you.
Nobody gets lucky. You build something. You don't get lucky. You build something.
Yeah, and you can check that out at joemcgee.com on our website. Also, you can join us and become a partner with Joe McGee and help make this podcast available to more and more people.
Yes.
As well as helping to send us around the country, helping marriages and families. We appreciate you so much. Thank you, partners.
Thank you.
We are blessed that you're in our lives. Hey, guys, have a great day. We always enjoy our Mondays. Thank you.
Love you guys. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.